In this hour of the program, we will take up a topic we certainly have discussed before many times on the show, and that's the delivery and financing of healthcare. It certainly is true that in this country, there are many people who are concerned and dissatisfied with healthcare and point to a couple of problems. First of all, there are many people in this country that do not have and cannot afford health insurance, and that for those people who do and receive their healthcare through some kind of managed care setup, there are also a lot of complaints about the way the care is delivered, about how much time they get to spend with their physician, and so forth. And when people here in this country think about healthcare reform, often as a source of inspiration and as a model, they look to the systems of other countries, particularly other industrialized countries like Canada, like Germany, for example. And this morning, in this part of the show, we will start out talking a bit about healthcare in Germany. And our guest is Dr. Klaus-Dirk Henke. He is professor of health economics and management at the Technical University in Berlin. He is also director of the European Center for Comparative Government and Public Policy, which is also in Berlin. And he's considered to be an expert in health and social service financing in Germany and also throughout Europe, and is often called on by both government and media to comment on emerging issues in health and social welfare. Since 1984, he's been a member of the Scientific Advisory Board to the German Federal Ministry of Finance and is the former chairman of the European Healthcare Management Association. He's visiting the campus and will be talking about these very issues this afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Levis Center. This is part of a series looking at issues of health policy and social welfare that's sponsored in part by the Center for Advanced Study. And there are a number of other sponsors, and too many to mention, so I won't read them all. I hope none of those people will feel left out. All of these events are always open to the public, and anyone's welcome to attend. So if you're interested in hearing more from him, that is at the Levis Center on Illinois Street on the campus. That's on the Urbana side of things, and that's this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Here, of course, during the program, if you're interested in being part of the conversation, all you need to do is call. And the number in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, also toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. And you said that I should tell the audience a little bit about the German healthcare system. And perhaps I should start by telling the American people that everybody is covered in Germany, as in other European countries as well, and that we have equal access to all the facilities, all the health services that are available in Europe. So the European welfare state is characterized by this total coverage of the total population. Everybody has access to care. And on the other hand, it's very costly. And of course, the Germans and other people in the European countries, member countries of the European Union, complain about the rising expenditures. But compared to the United States, what comes to my mind is that 42 million Americans don't have coverage and they would like to have it. And looking from Europe, one is surprised that you are spending so much, although you have this large deficit. And we are spending as much as you do, a little bit less, and do not have this deficit. So this is a topic. On the other hand, we are looking to the United States because you invented managed care, and probably many of the listeners are members of the HMOs, and we are struggling now whether we should introduce the HMOs in Germany or we should not. And the biggest struggle in Germany are between two words. One word is competition. We need more liberalization of healthcare, more competition. And on the other hand, we need something the Americans don't know. Probably the listeners don't know what I mean with solidarity. So there's a social cohesion in the population that we say, well, everybody, independent of his place where he lives, independent on his income, should be in the position to have access to everything. And this is something, this is a dichotomy that on the one hand you want to have solidarity and on the other hand you want competition. And this is something that we are struggling with, not only in Germany, but in France, Netherlands, Italy, and the UK as well.
In a moment, perhaps we'll come to the financing issue, because I think, as you say, in many places where there's universal coverage provided, that financing is an increasingly critical issue. That is, this question is, how is it that we can continue to provide the service and pay for it? But let me take a step back, because I think so often when people make comparisons between health care in the United States and that in other countries, particularly in Europe, the statistic that's cited over and over is that on a variety of measures, Europeans appear to be healthier than Americans, and yet here in this country, per capita, we spend more on health care. So it appears that we are spending more and we are getting less, at least if you use as a measure of what you're getting, the health of the people. We're spending more and getting less than they do, for example, in Germany. What do you think accounts for that difference?
Well, you won't believe it, but we are discussing the same thing when we compare the different member states in the European Union. There are people who say that life expectancy, for example, as an outcome measure, differs a lot between the different countries, between Europe and United States, and the countries spend different amounts of money. There's something to it. But on the other hand, I would say that life expectancy has a lot to do with medical science and with medical process and with the treatment through doctors, but this is not all. I mean, there's more to it, and there's education, and there's nutrition, and there's lifestyle, and everything else that really is important for the life expectancy of a country. In the very moment you go into details and you look at mortality or morbidity rates, it's very difficult to compare the systems, and I'm not sure whether America is then behind Europe. Because I have the impression that the medical advances and the medical progress is rapid in your country, much more rapid than in our countries. And you are spending a lot of money in the United States. The reason for it might be the medical process, might be the inefficiency of the system, might be the too high incomes of the doctors. So there are many factors touching this point. But you are right that perhaps the Americans could be healthier by spending less money for healthcare.
On average, are European physicians paid less than American physicians?
I guess on average, the American physicians earn a lot more, and this is probably because your system is more under the umbrella of a competition and not so much administered by social government processes as in our country. Perhaps there are other reasons that I do not know, but on the whole, you can show that the income, that the turnover in the area of doctors and the other people, the professions who work in medical care and medical treatment, that they are better off than in Europe.
There certainly in Europe, in much of Europe, there is a strong tradition of social welfare, of the idea that there are certain things that should be provided, that all people should have access to, and that it is the right and proper activity of government to provide those things. We have in a very different sort of tradition and a way of thinking here in the United States. Is it at all in Europe, maybe specifically in Germany, but elsewhere in Europe, becoming a controversial idea? Is there much in the way of a challenge to the notion of the social welfare state?
Perhaps you should start with two things. First, that we in Germany, for example, have our social security system introduced with Bismarck in the 80s of the 1900th century. And since then, we are growing in the area of social security. We have a pension fund system. We have an uninsured people system. We have a health insurance fund system. So we have different branches. And since 10 years, we have a nursing home care of the elderly branch in our social security. And this social security is financed through contributions by the employer and the employee. And we are paying right now on average 14.4% of our income. And this is a social security system. And this is combined with the name of Bismarck. And the other system is the beverage system that the English have and the Scandinavian people have. This is totally tax financed, and it comes out of the tax money, out of the revenue. And so people say sometimes they are a little bit underfinanced because politically it's not so easy to spend more on health care when it goes through the parliament every year and when you see the competing other objectives of government to health care. In our country, it does not go through the parliamentary process every year. We have this self-governmental processes between the market and between the parliamentary system where the employer and the employee is running and steering the system and paying for it. So this is the background of the situation. But now we are complaining, even in Germany on a very high level, that the system is too costly. And the unemployment is very high in Germany. And you must see that we are financing the system out of the wages and salaries. So we are having 15% in addition to our tax that we are paying. We have 19% in addition to the tax we are paying for pension fund, 15% for health insurance funds. So it's going to be very costly, and that makes labor so intensive and so costly that people now complain and say, well, we should change the system in the direction of more managed care. We should change it from financing it from wages and salaries, and we should go to a community rating system as you have it. This is a new situation that we have now pressure, reform pressure in regard to financing it completely different. And we need large reforms because all our political parties are saying that we need a major reform, that we are complaining on a high level. But in case we want to be a leading nation in the future, we have to reform the system dramatically.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that Germany seems in some ways to be in a mid position between, say, the United States and Britain, where on the one hand there's universal coverage, as there is in Britain, but coverage is coupled to work, as it tends to be here in the United States, mm-hmm. which is something here, again, I think in this country, people who are critics of healthcare say, well, it shouldn't be that way. Your health insurance should not be tied to your job.
There's something to it. I mean, you have Medicare and Medicaid on the other hand, but some people in your country probably say, well, what we need is a social security system that covers everybody and everything, and probably the Americans can work on that. We are going the other way around. Everything is covered, but it's going to be too costly. And now we are saying, well, we have too much social cohesion, too much solidarity. You cannot pay everything. Even dental care is completely paid out of these big budgets from the healthcare funds. And now we are saying we have too much of it. Let's go in the direction of competition and make the system more efficient. And I have the impression that the Americans perhaps should go a little bit away from being more efficient, if it is really more efficiency that you have created through managed care, and you should go a little bit more in the direction of social cohesion and solidarity. Mm. But this is a very difficult topic. I could imagine that probably you add to your program, Medicare, Medicaid, a program for kids, that all the kids are included, and then perhaps you could go in this direction, the welfare states and your rent. On the other hand, look to United Kingdom and see that in England there is 1 million people on a waiting list for elective surgery. This is something that we do not have in the Netherlands, in Italy, in France, in Germany, but UK is not doing very well, but they don't complain so outspoken.
Our guest is Klaus Dirk Henke from the Technical University of Berlin, and he is an expert on health and social service financing in Germany and also throughout Europe. He is professor of health economics and management at the Technical University in Berlin. He's also director of the European Center for Comparative Government and Public Policy, also in Berlin. And we're talking a bit about the financing of healthcare, what it's like in Europe, making some comparisons between the American experience. He is here visiting the campus to talk about this very subject. Questions are welcome. We have a caller who is ready to go, and others are welcome in. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. The first caller is in Urbana and line one. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes.
I actually wish we were having the same problems as you're having in Germany, and we could be having that debate. As you alluded to earlier, that there's 42, 45 million Americans who have no health insurance. And actually, according to some of the quality measures, the World Health Organization has rated the United States 37th of all the nations. I think some of the points that you raised earlier are right on track, is that the issue is not more money for health care, but more health care for the amount of money that we're currently spending, at least from the perspective of the United States. I would also want to make a comment that I would be a little nervous about managed care. It all depends who's managing that care. And then lastly, I think it's great the different points of views that you're mentioning about the different countries in the world. And what is interesting right now, in Illinois, there's a proposal called the Healthcare Justice Act. It's House Bill 2268, and it's going to be voted on this coming November in the Illinois General Assembly. And what this proposal would do would be looking at the state of Illinois to see what type of affordable, accessible health care plan or plans that we can begin moving forward on. And really, we'll begin looking at the models of Germany, the models of England, the models of Canada, tax credits, medical savings accounts, those last two won't make a difference. But really having that public debate to figure out what we can finally do as a country to bring some decency back to our society. So I want to thank the guest for his comments and just urge people to contact their state senator to tell them to support the Health Care Justice Act.
Sure. Okay. Well, I appreciate your comments. Maybe the guest would like to talk about some of those things.
It seems as if you are an expert, and why don't you come this afternoon at 4 o'clock so that we come closer to each other and can talk about the topic in more detail. I'm sure that you are right when you say we need more efficiency and that we need more health for the money that you are spending. This is okay. When you are saying that the United States is in a rating that is done by the WHO on the 37th position, then you won't be surprised that Germany is not doing much better. But I would not trust these rankings, because these rankings depend very much on who sets the agenda and who is defining the quality indicators. And I know the people who do this job, and they say, well, if we would change the indicators, we would easily get Germany on a higher position, perhaps United States as well. Take an example. When you do not include the infrastructure of hospitals, then England is doing fine. But in the very moment you include the infrastructure of hospitals, where there are 14 persons in one room and with very poor facilities, then, of course, nobody would like to be in an English hospital. And when you include the queuing lines, then everybody says, well, don't go to United Kingdom. So it really depends on the indicators. But you are right in saying that we need more discussion and more public debate on healthcare. What I would like to ask you in this afternoon is, what are the drawbacks of preferred provider organizations? Because this is now discussed in Germany, that we say, well, we do not want HMOs everywhere, but we could think of a regional preferred provider organization where a good hospital has good doctors, has good outside facilities, rehabilitation centers. And this is something where the members of our Social Security say, well, I would join this society of preferred providers in case it's better and cheaper. And so what I would like to know is whether the Americans have good experience with it, or whether there is another alternative to PPOs.
I suppose that depends upon who you ask. I wouldn't be sure that there were some Americans who are in those kind of organizations that and have said, well, my experience has been good. And yet at the same time, you know, there are all kinds of concerns about the fact that you have to choose from their list of physicians and you can't go outside.
Right.
If you think that you should have a certain sort of treatment and they say, no, we don't think so, do you have any avenue for appeal, or is it just that's the way it is? There's all sorts of concerns about how disputes between patients and the administrators are mediated. What happens if there's a bad outcome?
Yeah.
I think that that's sort of a short list of concerns that Americans have about these kinds of organizations.
You should perhaps know that the freedom to choose your own doctor is, as we call it, a holy cow in Germany. This is something that's very difficult to change, because everybody likes this autonomy to be free and see the doctor of your choice. On the other hand, I have visited some HMOs here in Boston long ago and had the impression that with my wife and our four children, I would choose such an HMO where the responsibility for the services and the responsibility for financing is in one hand, and where you see the best doctors immediately when you come to these HMOs or to these PPO. So you're right, it depends a lot on the special PPO you are in. But what is the alternative? I mean, we are complaining now in our social security system that we need more competition, and you find the competition only by having different funds that you can choose between. And we had a major reform in 1990, I guess, where this freedom to choose was introduced. And some people, of course, were against it. Others were in favor of it. And then we introduced the DRGs in hospitals. So there are no indicators for parameters for competition coming up in Germany. And people on the one hand say, well, the Americans have bad experience, don't go this direction. And others says, well, this is the only alternative we have. Otherwise, we go in the political direction and then everything is socialistic.
This is Focus 580, our telephone talk show for the morning. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. And again, I should introduce our guest. We're speaking with Klaus Dirk Henke. He's professor of health economics and management at the Technical University in Berlin and is also director of the European Center for Comparative Government and Public Policy in Berlin. He's an expert in health and social service financing in Germany and Europe, often is called upon by government and media to talk about issues in health and social welfare. He's here visiting the campus. We'll be talking about this very issue in a talk this afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Levis Center. This is a part of a special initiative on looking at health policy and social welfare policy that is sponsored in part by the Center for Advanced Study. A number of other units on the campus also involved in this. So and if you're interested in this particular issue, you are welcome to attend. Just stop by. And, of course, here questions are welcome, too. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. We have some other callers. In our neighboring state of Indiana, Kingman, Indiana, let's go there, our line number 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I was wondering if your guest knew of any cost-benefit analysis that have been done on the effects of removing health care costs entirely from the backs of employers or providing nationalized health care benefits for small business owners. Thank you.
Okay.
This is a very specific question. You must know that we are financing our system by contribution rates, 50% from the employer and 50% from the employee. And this financing leads to the fact that these two parts are leading the system. They have self-governmental structures, and they are doing the negotiation processes every year with the persons, with the doctors, with the hospitals, and decide upon what is giving to whom for what money. And when you are saying there's too much done on the back on of the employers, there are several answers to this. We are now discussing in government commissions that we should get rid of the employer side of the picture and let the employee pay everything. And then the employer is out of business and the small business companies have advantages because the labor cost is decreasing. On the other hand, you have your impression here in the United States that managed care is mainly run by employers. We in Germany now try to find a new system where you have premiums, like Switzerland, where you pay a premium for the system, and those people who cannot afford the premium are supported by tax money. It's a very technical discussion that you are raising, and cost-benefit analysis is very difficult. I can only tell you that right now we have two major commissions in Germany, and one of these two commissions is in favor of the Swiss system, where only the employee pays an amount of money for his insurance. And others are in the other direction, say, where why don't we take taxable income as the tax base for the premiums we pay right now out of wages and salaries and in the future perhaps from a broader tax base called taxable income. I'm not in favor of this direction. I favor the insurance principle and would like to have the employer out of the picture.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. In Germany, is there controversy? Do smaller employers complain that it's difficult for them to pay the health costs of their employees?
There is a problem, and we say, and this is true everywhere, I guess, that the middle class, that the small business people are in the position to develop growth and to increase wellness and fitness of the total economy. And so their contribution to the growth rates is very important, and it's not the big business. And so it's important to reduce the labor costs. This is a discussion in Germany as well, and depending on the side where you belong to, you are in this or that direction. I'm in favor of helping to get away from unemployment in Germany, so we have to reduce labor costs a lot, and this is why I'm in favor of premiums and a little bit in the direction of the benefit principle and not so much in the direction of, speaking technically, the ability to pay principle. I do not want my system tax financed like the Canadian have it or the Scandinavian people have it. I would like to prefer a benefit approach with insurances and with a membership approach to the health insurance business.
We have other callers. Well, next up is Champagne in line one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
One of the things I just would like to make a little brief comment on what you just said. One of the things here in our country, in our system, that hurts small business actually is that they cannot obtain insurance at the same cost that larger businesses do. And so, in some ways, it's always been my firm belief that having some kind of national health insurance would actually help small business in this country. And the other thing that I am always struck when this conversation is going on, that for me this whole conversation is basically about freedom. It has to do with whether or not I actually have any sense of security in the system that we have in our country. I really have no sense of security. I have a full-time job, and I, work for the University of Illinois, and so I have what is in this town considered to be, the good system. However, I'm totally tied to, needing to keep that job. I can't go down to a half-time job should it be better for my family, or I can't take positions within social service type agencies because they can't offer me the same kinds of benefits. So for me, this argument has almost always been about freedom. I have known people who wanted to start their own business but could not afford to leave whatever company they were at because their family would be at a loss. So this is a complicated question when you get down to the all the nitty-gritties, the possibilities that people have. But it really seems to me that, there's no question that something that was nationalized where, everybody had it and it was all basically the same thing, basically would give people more freedom.
I guess you are raising very important questions. In our system, we have a benefit package that is valid for everybody, independent where you work, whether you are under social assistance, whether you are unemployed, the benefit package is the same. And this is what I call social cohesion or social solidarity. This is the one side, the good side. And the other side, when you say, from your point of view, being somebody who is in small business, that you say, well, what we need is a national health insurance. This is correct. But on the other hand, who is paying for the national health insurance? In Germany, all the enterprises, all the small business firms pay their employer contribution, the 50%, and this is labor cost for them. And the other 50% is paid by the employee. So there is a lot of labor cost involved in the national health insurance system that we have. So probably the United States should think about having a national health insurance system that is not so much paid from the employer, in particular not from the small business people.
Well, at least in our country, it would be more helpful if the small businesses could pay the same rate that the larger employees do. But
I agree.
They cannot.
Yeah,
and many
I
of
agree.
Them that have tried to provide insurance are, basically because we have the free economy system.
Yeah, right.
And they don't have as big a group.
Yeah, I understand. On the other hand, you can only see that in our system everything is historically grown, and the benefit package is obligatory. I mean, you cannot get out of this package, although the only possibility to get out of it is to have a new reform, a law that is a federal law, then that you reduce the benefit package. Right now we are discussing in Germany to get rid of dental care because dental treatment is the most expensive benefit package that we have. And now they say, well, why don't we get rid of it? And everything should be done on your own ability to pay this dental care. So the benefit package on the whole is set for everybody, independent on where you work and what you do, even for unemployed and people with social assistance, everything is done. And in case the small business would like to have support, then you can only give them credit points or something that they can deduct from their profit income.
Well, I appreciate the comments of the caller. I thank you very much.
Bye.
This must be tremendously controversial if you have people used to having a certain level of service.
Sure.
And then you start talking about cutting back. Because, as you say, that dental care, some people would argue that's, you know, a very important part of health care, and yet it is very expensive. If people get used to having that coverage, I'm sure that if you say to them, well, we're thinking maybe we're going to take this away and you're going to have to start paying for this out of your own pocket, I imagine a lot of people would be pretty unhappy about that.
That is right. And as there are always elections coming up in Germany, as in the United States, it's not so easy done. But right now, on the highest agenda, it is discussed what we can do to reduce the payroll tax rate. The payroll tax rate is the 14.5% that we pay on average, the employer and the employee. And this is a political price. And people say this price is too high. So let's try to reduce this price by getting out the benefit package for dental care. This might lead to the fact that somebody is losing an election. And this is why it's very difficult when you have reached a certain status quo, and the status quo in Germany or European welfare state is very, very high. It's very difficult to get something away from people to what they have been accustomed to. And this might be different in the United States, where you are far behind what we have as benefit package and total coverage. But still, I guess this discussion about the freedom to choose and the sense of security that the lady who called us beforehand was mentioning is something very important, and you should define in your country what a good system is. And I know that you tried to a couple of years ago to implement a better system, but somehow it's not high on your agenda right now. It has something to do with your history. It has something to do that solidarity in the United States is not a keyword. In Germany, it's the keyword. And it's very difficult to introduce competition. Here it is the other way around. Competition is everywhere, and it's supported by many Americans. But solidarity is far away from being high on the agenda. Mm.
Let's talk next with someone in Chicago on our line number two.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a comment and a question. There was a study released not too long ago, maybe only 2 months ago, and I hope maybe someone at the University of Illinois can give the professor the name of it, but it was about managed care, and they found that physicians, when they know the level of the person's insurance, often did not even tell the patient that there was a more expensive or better treatment available for them, because the physician knew that the insurance wouldn't pay for it, so it was not even mentioned. The patient didn't even have the option to try to pay for it out of pocket. And I think that's an important study to look at while you're considering managed care.
Yeah.
My question is about efficiency in the system. One of the problems here in the United States, especially when we talk about national health insurance, is that here it's still envisioned as a doctor-physician-based service. And most of our problems here are chronic illnesses like diabetes, asthma, and allergy. I mean, these are the obesity. These are the overwhelming problems. And they really need to be served by someone, perhaps not even a nurse, but a health educator who could see the person frequently, almost weekly, with maybe only 6 month or yearly visits to a doctor. And because of the fact that we're using a doctor-based system, it's too expensive. And I was wondering, when you look at it internationally, do they ever look at systems that are based at a lower, I don't mean to say lower, but let's say a less degreed level, where there's a health educator or someone who's providing regular care so that they can deal with the chronic illnesses and make sure the preventative health is at a high level?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to make that a complicated question.
No, two very good questions. The first one was known to me, that it happens under managed care that patients get not the information that would like that they would like to have, even if something is more expensive and they would have to see a specialist outside the managed care system. This is a poor element of managed care. We should avoid it, and we should find ways that this is really impossible, because being from a country where access is free to everybody, I think that this equality of access is very important, that you get what you need, and that managed care is very high in quality. And I guess you need somebody who is watching this quality. It must be certified year by year, so that solidarity and competition goes together on the same level. The second topic was even more important, I guess. I mean, the doctor-based systems are in the foreground in Europe as well. I guess in Canada it might be a little different, and in the tax finance systems it's a little bit away from the doctors. You must see that the doctors are are self-employed persons in Germany, and that they are, of course, interested to earn some money, being a good doctor and earn some money, and this is the same in the United States. And now you are saying that chronic diseases will be high on the agenda in the years to come, and this is a big new topic. We have a demographic challenge in Europe, which is much stronger than in the United States, because the Europeans are getting older quicker than you getting older. I mean, we are 10 years ahead in a negative and positive sense, and that means that the number of chronic diseases will dramatically increase. And you are right that we do not need so many doctor-based systems as we have right now. We could have systems where these people who have chronic diseases know better sometimes than the doctor does what to do and who could help them. So health educators is a good answer, and managed care would be a good answer as well, because in a managed care system there are doctors, but only in case you need them. In case you need a social worker or health educator or just a nurse or nurses, then it's fine. And in case I would join such a managed care system, we do not have it in Germany, but we are working on a regional preferred provider system for Berlin and Brandenburg. I would join a system where they say, well, for this you don't need the doctor, you need a social worker, and you must go in other directions to get what you need in case of chronic diseases. I'm close to what you said.
Well, thank you and good luck.
All right. Thank you for the call. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580, and I would like to introduce once again our guest. Professor Klaus Dirk-Henke is professor of health economics and management at the Technical University in Berlin and is director of the European Center for Comparative Government and Public Policy, also in Berlin. He is an expert in health and social service financing in both Germany and the rest of Europe. Questions are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. To Urbana next, and line 3. Hello.
Yeah, two things in the question. First, my experience with PPOs hasn't been very good. It seems to me that the doctors who will accept the rate that the PPOs pay are usually the marginal doctors in an area, but you know, I'm sure people's experience differs quite a lot. The other thing is that the previous lady said a couple of things that were very interesting, and I agree with. And she also mentioned diabetes, which has something to do with what I wanted to talk about. In the summer, I read a notice that the press release stating that researchers from the University of Bonn were following Mexican witch doctors, and they found that their treatment of diabetes with a plant was highly effective and had few side effects, and they're following up on it. And I haven't had a chance to follow up on this myself, but I was kind of curious because I know that Germany is pretty more intensely involved with supplements and over-the-counter things, and I was just curious if in fact this kind of if this paid off and turned out to be a very good anti-diabetes treatment, and it came from Germany. I don't see too many German over-the-counter stuff in my pharmacies. What do you think with the WTO? I don't know if you can answer this or not, but what do you think with the WTO and all? What would be the chances of our getting it here in the United States? Is that something you can answer? Or?
Well, I will try to at least have a remark on it. The first thing you said, that you have not so good experience with the PPOs, and that you had the experience that the doctors are marginal doctors because they're not getting enough money. There may be something to it, and we have to avoid it in case we want to go in this direction, and this is what we are discussing right now in Germany. And as you said, people's experiences differ a lot, and perhaps there are some good examples. And of course, I would like to learn, whilst I'm here in Illinois, what we can avoid, what mistakes we can avoid in case we would introduce this on a model basis, for example, for Berlin, and only for those people who would join us. And I guess this organizational form must be better and a little cheaper than the other one. Otherwise, nobody will join. And the thing on diabetes, I do not know this study that you are mentioning in connection with Bonn University. But what is right when you say that the over-the-counter things in Germany in pharmacies are impressive? And I have heard from pharmacists that more than 50% of the turnover comes over-the-counter and are supplemental things that are bought from the housewives and the men who went there because they think that these are anti-diabetes things that they need for their health. But I'm not an expert in diabetes, and I do not trust too much the Mexican witch doctors. But on the other hand, when you are serious ill, you take everything that you can get, and probably somebody got help from these recipes and these things that he bought. But I'm not an expert in the details of this. And what you mentioned with the WTO, this is something I did not understand. I know what WTO means, but what was your question?
Let me go back. Is the caller still there?
Yeah, well, what I was wondering is, I know that the WTO has a lot to do with being able to trade with Germany and to get some of these supplements that Germans use on our pharmacy shelves or even in our, you know, drugstore shelves. And but I don't see too many German drugs, and I know there are supplements, and I know there are quite a few of them. So I was curious if your guest knew if something was stopping our getting German supplements, etc.
I don't have details, but being an economist, I don't like to hear this because we have an open economy and we would like to export things to the United States. And you perhaps should ask your drugstore and your pharmacists why you don't, why they don't have it, because there's as you said, ability to pay something, and then you should try to get it. I will ask my people at home. Perhaps we can find a solution.
Thank you. We'll see if we get at least one more caller here. We have somebody on a cell phone on our line 4. Hello.
Yes, I have a couple comments. Being in the healthcare industry, I know that compliance is a big issue, and I know that cost of medicines are perceived to be very, very important, are very, very costly. Actually, there's about 14% of the medical dollar, or 14 cents out of the medical dollar is spent on medicines, whereas bureaucracy and paperwork is somewhere around 30%. Now, that's a big concern, and I don't know how we would change any of that, but the big problem, I think, is that there's a lot of preventive medicine to be taken out there, and compliance in the areas of hypertension and cholesterol are not being adhered to. And if the managed care and the health insurance companies would monitor the compliance of these particular diseases and then maybe reward these people for complying with their medicines and getting annual checkups, I think we could cut down a lot of the end-stage diseases, which has cost the economy tremendous amounts of money. Other areas to supplement the income is that, and I know in this area here, that candy and saturated fat food products are very little taxed. And to me, with we're having a 60% of the population is overweight, and there is a tremendous increase in diabetes type 2, that we ought to put a tax on things that are not helping our bodies, and using that tax to supplement health in a compliant fashion. I'd like to hear your comments about that. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling. I think what you said about the overweight of the Americans, this is a major topic. When you arrive from Germany and go through the airports, then you can really see that the average weight is a lot higher than in the European setting. This is a major problem. I don't know the major reasons, but this is something that should be very high on the agenda because it's going to be very costly. So I'm with you in the area of preventive medicine or prevention as a whole. And I guess this is something where I do not have the answer in regard to the PPO or HMO. The preventive lifestyle should be a part of this PPO. And in case you can prove that you have this lifestyle, I guess they should give you a special benefit. and a bonus in this healthcare system. And then in case of the compliance rate, in case you can show and prove that you live accustomed to the lines that they are giving to you in the PPO, then this is good for you. Another thing that you mentioned is an important one, that you said you are paying 14 cents out of the medical dollar for pharmaceutical products, for medicine, and 30% for paperwork. This is very important because compared to the system I'm in, the paperwork is not so expensive because the payment of the contribution rate is done by the employer, so you do not have anything to do with it directly. And we say that the working or paperwork cost is about 7 to 8%. But this is a difficult discussion, and you must go into more details why this is 30% in your country and 8% in our country. But this is a waste of money, perhaps, when the paperwork is going up and going up through HMOs. Then you shouldn't go this direction. But on the other hand, I'm sure that Canada or Scandinavian systems, tax finance systems, have their paperwork as well. So this is a new topic.
There is much more that we could discuss, but we're coming here to the end of the time. I think we're going to have to conclude with the promise that I'm sure on other days we'll get back to some of these subjects with other guests. But for the moment, we need to thank our guest for this hour, Klaus Dirk-Henke from the Technical University of Berlin. For people who are in and around Champaign-Urbana, if you're interested in more discussion of these very issues, he'll be giving a talk this afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Levis Faculty Center on the U of I campus on Illinois Street. It's part of a Center for Advanced Study initiative concentrating on issues of health policy, social welfare, many joint sponsors, including the Institute of Government and Public Affairs on the U of I campus. So again, it's open to anybody who would like to attend. That's this afternoon, 4 o'clock at the Levis Center on the U of I campus. Our guest, Klaus Dirk-Henke, Professor of Health Economics and Management at the Technical University in Berlin. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for being with us. We appreciate it.